And we're back on In the Loop on WBEZ for our series, What's That Building? We're continuing our summer beach tour with a closer look at a Chicago lakefront structure with two towers and long open-air promenades. The grand scale of the Jackson Park Bathing Pavilion at 63rd Street, the romance of its arches and inner courtyards, they aren't just picturesque, they create a spectacular gateway onto a beautiful beach that has been loved and crowded since it was built in 1919. In the Loop, host Sasha Ann Simons recently took a trip to 63rd Street Beach with our architecture guru, Dennis Rodkin, to get the building's backstory. Let's take a listen.
Dennis, we're back together again on the south side.
How are you?
Doing well. Good to see you. We're standing at 63rd Street and Lakeshore. There just happens to be a beach here.
Surprise.
Surprise. And I got to say, before we dig into what 155 years of history, I got to say, this beach holds a special place in my heart. Every time I drive up and down Lakeshore and I see this building, I see the beach, I just think of romance. Is that weird? It's so romantic to me. It gives me that romantic vibe.
No, I think it really does evoke sort of our love for our beaches and a very romanticized notion of, from 1919, promenading along the beach. We're here in this arched promenade on the first level. There's another above us. I think it really, it's the idea of summer as a beautiful time, as a romantic time, mm-hmm. and this building really captures that.
Okay, so where do we begin when it comes to the history lesson you're about to give us today?
In 1871.
Okay.
So there's a chain of three parks. Really, I think one of Chicago's greatest green spaces is going from west to east, Washington Park, the Midway Plaisance, Jackson Park, and that all ends here. This, although you don't really feel it these days because the drive is between us and the park, this is the end point of that chain of parks that was laid out in 1871. The idea is that from about 2.7 miles west of here, boats would flow along lagoons and canals from what's now Washington Park all the way through and exit to the lake or enter from the lake right behind us here. And that was the idea, is that this would be sort of the focal point, the Lake Michigan focal point of that chain of parks.
And we should be clear, we're standing right now in the courtyard, the Jackson Park Bathing Pavilion courtyard.
Which is built in 1919, sort of on the shoulders of that plan that I described. Shortly after the 1871 plan, there becomes a different use of those parks, primarily Jackson Park, for the World's Fair, the World's Columbian Exposition. And this spot where we are was once again a focal point.
Yeah.
This building isn't here yet. And one of the things that people know best and think is the wildest about the World's Columbian Exposition was also right behind the building we're at, a moving sidewalk. Joseph Lyman Silsby designed a half-mile-long moving sidewalk,
wow,
first in the world. There were the pier that jutted out from the land here would have steamships coming in. And you would get off with your luggage, get on that moving sidewalk, or if you're leaving, get on the moving sidewalk to get to the ship. But this became such a sensation that people came out just to take that 5-cent ride, even if they had nothing to do with the steamships. And that was right here behind us. Also off to the side of where we are, immediately north of where we are, is another of the most ornate buildings at the World's Fair, the peristyle, which had sculptures and columns and finials, just this really ornate building. Both of those, the moving sidewalk and the peristyle, which we're kind of standing right in between, burned in 1894. They're among the earliest parts of the fair to be lost.
Okay, so they were destroyed at that point.
They're destroyed, so there's still beach here. And for a while, there was a different field house a little distance from where we are. But finally, in 1919, the city builds this beautiful building. It's a little bit derived from the World's Fair buildings of the 1890s. It also, we're almost to the 1920s. It has some prairie influence. So going back to what you said about the romance, we've got these great arches running along the wings, both,
beautiful,
as I said, on the ground and on the second level. But then we also have these overhanging roofs that make it look like a prairie-style building. So it's sort of a Chicago take on a classical revival building.
It's gorgeous. And of course, to our right, next to the courtyard, a massive fountain.
This is wonderful. Yeah, so it looks like a far larger building than it is. And then you come to it and you see that many of the walls surround courtyards. There are two major courtyards, one closer to the water, and this one we're at inland, which has this great fountain. This is a 21st century addition, but it adds to that feeling of the romance of being near the water, because
right,
you always hear this sound.
So you said this current building we're standing in was constructed in 1919. For how much, Dennis? What was the cost back then? I'm curious.
It was built at the cost of $167,000, which is like spending $4.34 million today.
Wow.
And you can see that. And even so, it was a relatively inexpensive building. The park districts were building lots of new park buildings and trying to hold costs down. So they used, you can see on these columns, it looks bumpy. It looks like it's made of pebbles.
Lower cost materials.
Lower cost material that could go up faster. It was called popcorn concrete or marblecrete. And you can see why it would be called either of those.
That's right, yes.
And so they were able to build it faster, build it cheaper, but they were not able to do the intricate details that you saw on some of the World's Fair buildings, because this is more like a rough, textured, fast applied cover.
Yeah. You mentioned in your story that's up on WBEZ.org that this building at the time was it a replica of something else that existed on the north side?
It was a twin, a very, very close resemblance. So this is built in 1919. In 1916, the city built a building very similar to this at Clarendon Park on the north side. That one was red brick, unlike this one, but it too had the two tall towers, and it was this big, expansive pavilion embracing the lake. So the idea was that would be your north side bathing pavilion, and this would be your south side bathing pavilion. But the interesting thing that happened to that one is when all the lake fill was put in to expand the park on the north side, the lake moved east from where it was,
uh-oh,
and so that bathing pavilion was no longer on the water. The building still stands. It's been massively renovated multiple times. Doesn't look the way it did. So the only one we have that really evokes that period of that great municipal bathing pavilion is this one.
Is this one. And so it becomes a popular beach. This was the place to be.
You know, I found a reference in an old Chicago Tribune article to a weekend in July 1925 when 240,000 people in Chicago went to the beaches. 100,000 of them were here.
Wow.
That was more than any other three beaches combined.
That's a lot
it really
of people.
Was a very popular place to go to the beach.
And the next highest, you're right, was Oak Street Beach with 65,000.
Yeah.
So yeah, you get to see sort of the stark difference there.
This was the place to bathe.
Well, my understanding though, Dennis, is that that was the case even before the building was constructed.
Oh yeah, the building was built because it was so popular to be here. Prior to this building being built, where people would go for lockers and food when they were on the beach, was the old German building from the World's Fair. It was still standing. If you look off to the north of us, you can sort of see the dome of the Griffin Museum
of
Science and Industry. If you came out from there to the beachfront, right there where there's now just sand, is where the German building had been built for the World's Fair in the 1890s. It's still standing in the early 1900s, and that was the beach house that people used. It burned down in 1925. It was out of use then. This had been built in 1919.
Yeah, and that makes sense. It's very close by.
Yeah, and so we're really just shifting the attention back to where historically it had been.
Why don't we go get a better look at the exterior of this place? We've been standing in this courtyard for a while. I want to sort of fall in love again with that facade that I'm used to seeing when I drive up and down Lakeshore.
Let's go do that.
This is In the Loop. I'm Mary Dixon, in for Sasha Ann Simons, and we're getting the backstory of the bathing pavilion at 63rd Street Beach for our series, What's That Building? Sasha recently visited 63rd Street Beach with our architecture expert, Dennis Rodkin.
Mm-hmm.
So we're at the front now, standing right in front of the Eric Hatchett Pavilion. Gates are locked, so we don't quite have access, but we can actually peek through and see that upper level.
Well, and before you do, just take in the breadth of this building. As I said, it looks a whole lot bigger than it is because much of this wall we see is actually wrapping courtyards. But then you get to this central pavilion with the arches and the lanterns. You can see there's not much detail on these columns because of the material they used. But that doesn't keep it from being a really majestic place that we, as you mentioned, can enter the pavilion. We walk up these stairs.
Yeah, let's go closer.
We can't go through the gate today, but as you, just imagine, you sort of sweep up those stairs with your friends, your romantic partner, because you've gotten us started that way.
Or maybe you're having your wedding reception.
Or maybe a wedding reception. And you're under this nice, broad pavilion. Everything's open air. Going back to those courtyards, there's more about being outside in this building than there is about being inside.
Yeah.
And that's true up there, where the not only that first pavilion roof we see, but the second story of the promenades spreads out. It would really be a place you'd have a little shelter from, say, the hot sun or rain on a summer day,
right,
but you'd be outside in this magnificent space.
With, of course, a gorgeous view of the beach. I can't help but think about it, though. You talked about just how many people used to come here. And I imagine that the case here at 63rd Street Beach is very similar to what we've talked about in the other Southside beaches, where not everyone was welcome here. Let's just put it that way.
Right. As we've said in the past segments, by law, the beaches were not segregated. But by tradition, by territorial activity, they were. And white people claimed this beach as their own. Blacks were primarily supposed to use beaches up around 21st Street and around in that area.
Mm-hmm.
But this place was so beautiful and so popular that blacks did come to this beach, with the result that, it being the middle of the 20th century, there were several incidents of clash. And at one point, after a particularly bad incident, the Tribune writes an article that says, well, you know, blacks should voluntarily stay away from the beaches where they're not welcome. They should understand that the relationships between the races will be better if they just stay away. The Tribune also said, build facilities on those black-dominated beaches that are as nice as the ones on the white-dominated beaches.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially what the Tribune was saying was, as we have in our schools in America at the time, we should have separate but equal facilities on the beach.
I see. Well, as the neighborhood down here sort of transitions and it becomes predominantly black, what happened to the facility here?
Starts to decline. It's not only because of racial change. It's also, the city officials would say that there was a lot of disinvestment in city infrastructure in the 60s, 70s, 80s. The economy was changing. We'd lost a lot of steel jobs. The city was not doing as much for infrastructure as it would later. But finally, in the late 1990s, there's a $6.2 million restoration done of this building, bringing it back to what it looks like now, reopening a lot of portions that had been closed. A little bit later, there's a restoration of the dunes on the sides of the building so that you've got more of a natural surrounding to this artificial building. And it becomes what we're seeing now, this spectacular gateway to a beautiful beach.
Speaking of spectacular, do you want to be the one to do the honors, to tell folks where we're heading next?
We will not be very far from this one. We're taking a long time to work our way up the South Side Lakefront. We'll be at Promontory Point.
All right, I guess I'll see you there.
That was Dennis Rodkin, Crane Chicago Business Senior Real Estate Reporter. And all summer for our series, What's That Building? Dennis and Sasha will be taking you to the interesting buildings that line Chicago's lakefront along the South Side.